5, 6, 7, 8. Volvo.
Volvo. V for Volvo.
V for Volvo. This is not an ad for Volvo. This
it's
is
not. We're not sponsored by Volvo, but God, would that be fun.
That would be really
fun.
Do you
think they'd give us free product?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe one day we'll find out.
Maybe it would come with a dictionary in the trunk.
That would be fun. All right.
Thematic.
All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
We're here to talk about Volvos.
Yeah, this is a car podcast.
This is a podcast about cars now.
You know, speaking of cars, speaking of trucks, speaking of your sweatshirt, I just noticed you're wearing your Team Luke sweatshirt in crimson.
I am.
For our Chris episode?
For our Chris episode. I thought it was very fitting. Honestly, it was just sitting there because I was wearing it for the Super Bowl last week. Did I tell you I wore this for the Super Bowl?
You did.
I did.
Because yeah, Nancy ordered it.
Because Nancy ordered Team Jess, but in crimson. I wanted to show her what it looked like. And I had it. It was perfect because the 49ers and the Chiefs were playing. They both have red. And at the time, I was like, you know. I was rooting for the Chiefs, but I was also rooting for a good game. So I figured, why not?
I just want everyone to have a good time.
But anyway, it was kind of sitting there because I was folding my sweatshirts a couple of days ago. And I was like, oh, I want to wear that. Oh, it's very fitting.
Yeah, it just worked out.
Yeah.
See, I was having a hard time picking something out to wear. And then I was like, what about this shirt that I forgot that I had?
I love that shirt on you. That is such a great shirt. I love the waffle fabric. Yeah. I love you wear white so well. It just works really well with your hair.
I love wearing white.
It's so nice.
It's just something about it. I know. Yeah.
I love wearing white as well. It's just I am a messy girl. And so therefore, when I get white things, they don't always stay white.
Yeah. See, I feel like to be thematic, I needed to find a shirt that I hadn't seen in a while mm-hmm. with a stain on it. And that would have been a good Chris outfit.
Very poetic.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, if you couldn't tell, we're here to talk about Christopher Hayden.
But before we do, before that, today is our first episode of March, March 5th, marching right into spring.
We are marching right into spring.
As spring blooms, so do new things in Tara's life.
Yeah.
Because Tara's new podcast, And Just Like Her, premieres on Thursday, March 7th.
Thank you for remembering, because I forgot. And it's funny, because when we're recording this episode, I just released today that that is the episode date. And when I told you that yesterday.
How did you forget that?
I don't know. But when you said it yesterday and you were like, oh, we should talk about it because this episode is premiering March 5th. I was like, you're so thoughtful. I would have totally forgotten. And it's my podcast. Like,
it's yours. Yeah.
Just went right out my brain. But I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm really excited for anybody who is curious about Sex and the City or has watched the show and is going to tune in to hear this first episode. It's with Ellen Marsh. She's a Broadway actor. She and I met doing Pretty Woman together back in 2019 and ended up becoming, 2018, actually. Wow. And ended up becoming close friends. We loved the show. We loved talking about it. And she is my first co-host on my first episode. I'm really excited.
Yeah. And she's also a podcaster.
She is. She has two true crime podcasts. And she also has a podcast called Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. It's about Love is Blind. That was my face when I found out what it was called because I knew she had a Love is Blind podcast. And she was like, it's called Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. And I was like, that's what it's called. Oh. She was like, yeah, because, you know, he should just shut the fuck up. And I was like, okay. Right. She is a busy
lady. I know some
lady.
People who would need that.
Do you watch Love is Blind?
I watched the first season because we were all in lockdown when it came out.
Yes, it was.
Or like,
it came out in 2020.
Shortly after. Yeah. But I never revisited it because I couldn't do it.
Oh, it is unhinged. And I will say, I have watched every season. There are some that I'm just could not be less interested in. Some of them that I really liked the first season. I actually thought that was one of the best ones. The season that just came out a couple of days ago on Netflix, at this point, it will have been released for a good few weeks. Season 6, it's really good. And so I'm glad they're kind of making a little bit of a comeback because it got really brutal for a while. And those shows aren't meant to be like good television, you know what I mean? Not like what we're here to talk about
today. It's supposed to be like good in like a bad way.
Yeah, good in like a McDonald's kind of way.
Yeah.
Like it's like really yummy. It's like mental McDonald's. Visual McDonald's, you know? That's what Brett calls it, visual McDonald's. When he watches The Bachelor or any of those shows, it's kind of like that. But
fine.
Ellen is always like that show. She decided to start a podcast, but she has three podcasts and I cannot imagine. I'm scared to do two.
No. Yeah. Well, plus we have like Patreon, so like that's three for you. But these two are like thematically linked.
Exactly. Yeah. It does feel like one, but Patreon kind of is its own separate thing. Yeah.
But speaking of your podcast and just like her, when you told me the concept of it, I was like, oh, fun. Because it's different than, because there's a lot of Sex and the City podcasts.
Yeah,
like,
there are.
Very popular show. But I feel like the approach that you're taking where you're answering Carrie's questions in her columns
is very interesting. Yeah, that's kind of why I want to do it. And I was very inspired by the way that our show is structured, because there are definitely Gilmore Girls podcasts out there. And also there have been very, you know, renowned ones like Gilmore Guys and like Scott Patterson's podcast. But we wanted to take a different approach to it. And that's what I wanted to do with the Sex and City podcast. I was like, I know that there are a lot out there, but I want to take a different approach to it. I mentioned this maybe in my solo episode, and I think I've mentioned it in the past. I've definitely mentioned it on this podcast in regards to our show, but I just turned 32 and Lorelai is 32 in the pilot of Gilmore Girls. Carrie Bradshaw is 32 in the pilot of Sex and the City. So there's something very poetic and exciting about that and about being 32 and living in New York. And I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary living in this city. And so it feels like a little bit of a love letter to this city that I love a lot and to the friendships that I've built while I've been here and the dating experiences that I've had here. Not that it's a love letter to that, but, you know, it's just going to be really exciting. No, you can
burn those letters.
We're just going to light those on fire. And I have. But I think it'll be really cool to talk to other people who are still dating in New York, because, of course, I'm dating Brett, but I'm not like actively casually dating.
You're not dating. You're around.
I'm with Brett. And, you know, these women, you know, were in relationships while the show was going on too, so it doesn't hinder their perspective. We've all been in the dating scene in New York if you've lived here in some capacity. And so I think it'll be really exciting to dive into that and to see how applicable the questions that Carrie poses in her column are to today's dating scene, which so far I've recorded three episodes. All of them are. All of them are still very valid and can incite a very interesting conversation.
That'd be so much fun.
I know, I can't wait. I really want you to watch the show, because I know that you've watched the movie.
I watched the movie, and like it comes on E, so like I've seen like a smattering of episodes. I've seen the finale, like when she's in Paris.
Of course. Like, so you know how it ends. You're not being spoiled.
No. Like, I know a lot. I know she goes up to a cabin at one point.
Yes, with
and
Aiden.
And the dad from Tell the Boys I've Loved Before.
I don't know who that is.
Isn't he in it?
Oh, John Corbett. Yeah, he plays Aiden.
Yes.
I didn't realize he was into All the Boys I'd Loved Before. Oh, I love him.
He's the dad.
He's the dad. Okay. Yeah. All right. This makes a lot of sense. Yeah. No, yeah. I love him. Yeah. I am team Aiden all the way.
I love him. But yeah, I just really keep wanting to say I want to come on for the movie episode. But that's a while from now.
That's a long time from now. And I think that you and I have had these conversations before. You lived in New York. You dated in New York. I think we could definitely have a good conversation, because we have good conversations here. So whenever you're ready, you say the word. Yeah. I think our besties would love to hear us talk about – I mean, they love listening to us talk about Gilmore Girls, but I think they'd also love to hear us talk about other stuff.
Yeah, and see what happens.
I know, it'll be fun. But thanks for the shout out. I'm excited.
Yeah.
You can tune in on Thursday. I can't wait. It's going to be a good time. A new little adventure. Time.
Yeah. As spring is springing.
I know.
Spring has almost sprung.
And it's International Women's Month.
Yes.
Which you actually
get 1 month.
Brought to me. You actually
did
brought
I?
It to me. I believe
oh, I
so.
Did.
Because I was actually going to launch this podcast. Today's Tuesday, February 20th, as we're recording this. It was going to be in 2 days because I wanted it to be during the month of love. It's a very like for the girls kind of month. And I just felt like I was rushing to get there. Mm-hmm. And you suggested to me like, well, March is International Women's Month. And I was like, perfect. Gorgeous. Yeah. So,
and it's like, you're like for the girls. And I was like, for the girls is next month.
Exactly. So it's a really good time to launch a show that's very women focused, and because it's not just about dating. Sex and the City is mostly about female friendship. It is rooted in feminism and in women owning their sexuality, owning the power that they have in relationships that I don't necessarily think was given to them in like earlier decades. I think we were kind of breaking out of that, and just kind of also owning that there's so much more to their lives and their goals that exist outside of finding a partner. And so that's what I also love about it. And that's why I feel like it's a very for the girls podcast.
Yeah. And I also, the thing that I love about it too is like, I think that at the time, like, quote unquote, finding a man was like, it's like, it feels like settling. It felt like the opposite of feminism of like, you don't need a man in your life. But it's like, yeah, but like, you want to find love and community. And
that's okay. And all of them do in a lot of ways. But it's also about the relationships.
All I can think of is Charlotte saying, where is he?
I've been dating since I was 16. I'm exhausted. Where is he? Exactly. Yeah. That is. And I think that was the vibe for a lot of people then. It's still kind of the vibe for some people now. And that, you know, spans across the board, whether you are a heterosexual woman or whether you exist outside of that. I think the show is for you. I think that it taps into all of the different sides and different relationships that you can have with people, again, including friendship, romantic relationships, etc. So I'm really excited to explore.
It'll be fun. Fun new endeavor.
Yeah. But in the meantime,
yeah, our old endeavor.
Speaking of men and finding men and navigating
navigating men,
toxic men.
Yeah,
let's talk about
that. That's an interesting question. Is he a toxic man, that Chris?
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on this. As we were breaking this down yesterday,
because Chris breaks a lot of things down, doesn't he?
He does.
People.
He does. It's
situations,
true.
Faces.
Yes. So we actually posed this question on our Instagram story, as we do. We love to turn to you guys to hear what you want to hear us talk about. We come up with
what
the topics.
The question?
The question, I believe, was just, you know, we're doing a Christopher and Lorelai episode. What do you want to hear us discuss?
Yeah. What's like, give us questions like that we can answer, this kind of thing. And there were so many good ones.
So many great questions. I pulled out, you know, all of the ones that I felt could generate a really good conversation yesterday. And Haley and I sat together and we went through them and she was just like jaw on the floor. Like, I want to talk about all of these things.
Yeah. So we're going to do this in two parts.
Yes.
Because we were like, we can't not answer all of these questions because there's so many good ones. There was a lot of really good what if fan fiction ones that we're going to save for another episode, because like all of the questions that were posed were like, we could go on for 6 hours with
so
all
long.
The questions that were asked.
So long. So this two-parter is actually just the first half of the questions, which are really about things that already exist within the world of Gilmore Girls. Not the what ifs, not the fan fiction, though those are very exciting. I think we can save
those
that for
are
another.
Some of the best questions too. So we'll save
those. Yeah. But as we were going through these, man, I just got so excited to talk about this because I think that there are a lot of assumptions about Christopher within the fandom that I kind of want to challenge a little bit.
Yeah. And within my mind, I imagine.
Yeah. You know, I think that he has a reputation in the fandom of being, you know, an absent father who abandoned Rory and Lorelai and just kind of took off and is very selfish. And while I do think that some of those things have truth to them, I think there is also more to the story. And that's not to say I'm a Christopher apologist or I'm a team Christopher, clearly.
That's what it's sounding like.
No,
she holds up her team,
pulled up my
sweatshirt.
Team Luke sweatshirt.
She said, look.
Look at it.
Promise.
Look at it. Look.
Read it.
But I have a lot of thoughts. And I think I came with facts to back it up.
Oh.
But I want to start with a question that intrigued us both and was one of the first questions that was posed that this is how I knew it was going to be a really good episode. The first question is, do Christopher and Lorelai have chemistry or history?
When we talked about this yesterday, I said both. Next question.
I said, is that it? We're moving on. And the answer is both. I think they have both. And I think their history lends to their chemistry. Like, I think the chemistry that they have exists and is so delicious to watch because like the young love that existed between the two of them never got lost. It was always there. At the root of it all was this young, innocent puppy love that really only exists between two 16-year-olds.
Yeah. And it's just like that feeling of like when you meet someone when you're that young, that becomes like your whole world. Mm-hmm. And so like that chemistry kind of like burns really hot, really fast. And then, unfortunately, sometimes that has consequences in the form of having a child at 16. But I don't think that even as, like, everything that transpired, like, when we see him for the first time, it's so clear that, like immediately, like, there's this tether that snaps between the two of them that's just, like, there's tension. But it's, like, in a hot way that's always existed that, like, there's just, like, a chemistry that exists between Lauren and David.
Oh, of course.
That, like, makes the characters, like, I think that's really true about TV shows in general. Like, if the chemistry is not with the actors, there can't be chemistry with the characters. Like, it's, what are you trying to build there? Like, it's like, yeah. you can write as much chemistry as you want to, but if there's not, if that, like, if you're not selling me on that, then like, it's not there. So I think that totally. Is like the main thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like the history, it's the jokes that they have, it's the way that they can banter between each other. And it feels like sometimes they're bantering with a mirror, but not in a way that feels like we've talked about recently on Patreon, where Jason and Lorelai do, where they're like saying the same exact jokes to each other. Mm-hmm. But it feels like they're bantering through their chemistry, Lorelai and Chris. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to explain. Just watch it.
No, it's so evident. And we've always said here that even though we root for Lorelai and Luke, and we feel, I think, right?
I think so sometimes. I think we do. Occasionally. Depends on the episode.
I was going to say, up till a certain point, I don't know. I have thoughts about this later that I'll touch on. But I think that Christopher and Lorelai undoubtedly have the best chemistry.
Yeah.
It's just, they do. It's just a fact.
And it's like, I think part of that is why it's so hard to sometimes watch Chris and Lorelai, because it kind of feels like a scary movie sometimes. And you're like, Lorelai, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It feels nice. It feels nice right now. Cause it's like the conversation is good and he knows you really well and it just feels fun. But
yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Like, yeah. Cue.
It's like,
cue the music.
It's kind of like how anyone falls back into like an old relationship. It's like usually because the chemistry is there.
Yeah.
And if it's like assisted by the history, it's just like pushing you into this.
Oh my God.
It's probably not very good for you.
100%. I think we've all been there. So I'm curious on what your thoughts were on Chris growing up watching the show. I think we're going to have two very different perspectives on this, because you started with the later seasons.
Yeah.
And I have watched the early seasons on a loop and didn't really watch the later seasons until I was grown. So my perspective on Chris was literally seasons 1 through 3 for a long time. And
I had a big opinion on him. Like,
I feel like he was just like dad. Yeah, but I think like season 5, he ruffles a lot of feathers.
He does. He does that. But yeah, I can't remember having like an intense feeling about Chris. I had a lot of intense feelings about other characters, but like, I don't think that Chris was one of them. I really just remember most like presently watching Wedding Bell Blues on ABC Family. And when, what's his name? Oh my God, I forgot his name. Christopher and Rory are sitting on the couch, like in the other room. I know. I don't know what's going on with me today. Literally forgot this man's name, and it's the title of the episode. But when they're sitting in that room and he's like, who wouldn't want to kiss a Gilmore girl? Like, I remember moments like that, or like in season 6 when he's like, I'm rich.
Yeah.
Like, I have really like strong memories of watching that when I was younger, but I don't have strong memories of like him breaking them up. Like, I don't know. Like, even like when he's like, Emily said we're supposed to be together, I'm like, go back to Logan. He's right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was kind of like, he's dad. Like, that's her dad. That's really was my thoughts. I didn't have like strong opinions about him that I can like recall. Maybe I did. I probably did. But I just like don't remember them. I do remember like going through and rewatching, I guess, in the 2010s, like as I made my way through, I was like starting to feel stronger feelings that maybe I liked him more than Luke. But as I have gotten older, I'm like, no. Mm. Like, and I think it's because of the chemistry. I think that that is really misleading when you're not really thinking too hard about the state of their relationship and more of like how their relationship feels, rather.
Yeah.
It also feels kind of bad. I don't know. But I really, when I was younger, all I really remember thinking about Chris is like, dad.
Well, I think you could argue, and people may disagree with me on this, I think you could argue that seasons 5 through, you know, maybe 6, 7 is wonky for reasons that we all know about. But I think seasons 5 and 6, he shows up more as Rory's dad than he does as a love interest for Lorelai. Yeah. Whereas in seasons 1 through 3, he wasn't in 4.
He wasn't in 3,
of course, at the beginning is where we get kind of the last bits of Christopher and Lorelai outside of just seeing him at Sherry's, the birth of Gigi. But I think that seasons 1 and 2, Chris was really positioned as a love interest for Lorelai, less as Rory's father.
As a dad. Yeah, mm-hmm. That is so true. He really does show up as her dad in 5, like as much as he's showing up to cause drama, mm-hmm. That he tries to come to Yale and like his dad dies. And so Rory tries to like kind of connect with him. I do also remember that scene where she's laying in bed with Marty. LOL. She's laying in Marty's bed, rather. Mm-hmm. And she said, "My dad just showed up." And he was like, "You want to talk about it?" And then she falls asleep.
Yeah.
so I guess she didn't. But yeah, he really starts showing up as her dad. And then in later on in 6, she's like, "You know, Lorelai's like, you know who would love a Yale sweatsuit? Your dad."
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah, he really is positioned as a love interest in 1 and 2 and not as Rory's father.
Yeah, and I will say I think that that's why I kind of liked him in seasons 1 and 2. I think when I was younger, growing up watching the show, I think that I was rooting for him. And not to say that I didn't root for Luke and Lorelai, but I think I was rooting for, because I identified with Lorelai so much, I was rooting for Lorelai's happiness and what Lorelai wanted. And for most of season 2, that was Christopher.
Yeah.
So I think that that's why I liked him and didn't necessarily think like, oh, they should end up together, but wanted to see him choose her.
Yeah, because she wanted to be chosen by him.
Yes.
It's really interesting that like he is positioned as a love interest. And I'm thinking back to like us going through Patreon last year. Oh, I can't believe that was last year that we were on season 1 and 2. So weird.
That was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Whoa. That was 2022. But thinking back to that, I didn't dislike Chris in season 1 and 2.
I didn't like, either.
I really wanted them to work out because I always think that the only obstacle that Chris had to get to Lorelai was himself.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have like pulled his shit together,
yeah,
could have been fine for the most part. But yeah, I really, it wasn't like, I don't remember like hating him.
No, I didn't dislike him. I was rooting for him. I think the turning point for me is the end of season 2.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that came up, this is kind of going out of order from what we had laid out, but wondering if Chris should have stayed with Lorelai after he found out that Cherry was pregnant. It's hard. It's so hard for me to answer that question because I think growing up, I was like, yeah, of course. Like, Sherry is pregnant. He wants to make sure that he shows up as a partner and as a father because he didn't do that with Rory, or so he says. And so I think he wants to do the quote unquote right thing. But is it really the right thing to be with somebody who, I don't want to say you don't want to be with, but when you're in love with somebody else because he's in love with Lorelai?
Yeah.
Is that really the right thing?
Because we talked about this on Patreon, but we didn't, I guess we weren't necessarily talking about like what the right thing would be, like what he should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the answer is, but like, I don't think that the right thing is going to be with someone that you were going to leave because now they're pregnant and the right thing to do is to stay with them. I do think what's interesting is that ultimately it's Sherry that leaves Chris.
I do too. I think
that
that
leaves Sherry
is a fascinating twist in season 5.
Yeah. 5. Yeah.
Fascinating.
That I really didn't connect until just now that he stays with her and she leaves him.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very interesting. And I think it was very clever on the writer's behalf to make him a single dad for the latter half of the show. But I kind of, you know, in thinking about this question, I'm like, I don't know why he didn't just stay with Lorelai. I don't know why he didn't say to Sherry, like, listen, I've rekindled my relationship with my ex. That is the person I want to be with. The timing is right. I will show up for you. We will show up for you. But I don't know if Lorelai would have wanted that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like being in a relationship with someone who I've known for a really long time, who just like maybe sort of semi ended things, maybe is ending his relationship with them via being with me and might have cheated on them with me, but is leaving them to be with me. Mm-hmm. And then you find out that they're having a baby and now I have to be in a relationship with a man who seems to want to be with me while he is raising a child with someone who he left to be with me.
It's so complicated and so messy. And honestly, Chris saying, I'm going to show up for Sherry and be with her is probably the cleanest way for that to play out. However, it sucks. It's not ideal.
And I think that either way, it would have been hard for Lorelai, like to be the girl that he chose, but have her daughter not be the one that he is showing up for, mm-hmm. and like have to be the love interest, I guess the girlfriend, as he is being the doting father. I think that would be too much for me personally.
That's tough.
I think I might end the relationship over that. I don't know what the answer is. I should have. Like, I personally like the way that it played out because I like that Lorelai was kind of broken after that. Because I love when she goes into Luke's and she's Mimi at the beginning of season 3. Mm-hmm. It also leads us to one of the best Emily Gilmore moments where she says, Christopher?
Oh, the way that it played out is the way it was supposed to play out.
Yeah.
100%. But as far as like, it's interesting when people pose the, should this character have done this? Was this the more correct move? And it's like, I don't know. It's so hard to answer that.
And I want to say yes, that like he should have stayed with her because that was the person he wanted to be with and she wanted to be with him and they were finally going to be a family. But bringing another life, a little baby into the equation doesn't make it shake out the same as it would have if it was like just Sherry v. Lorelai.
That would have been tough. I think the way that it played out is the way that it was meant to play out. And again, I think that the twist in season 5 of him being kind of abandoned by this woman and having to be a single father was good for his character. But yeah, it's a different world in which he stayed.
Yeah. I think had he stayed, I don't think that Christopher actually has enough in him to have made that work. I ultimately think that had he stayed with Lorelai and was trying to be a co-parent to Gigi, I ultimately think that he would have left Lorelai.
I think so too.
I think he would have like upset her in the process of like, this is kind of turning into a what if, but I think that if he, we said we were saving.
We said we wouldn't.
But you guys know us, we can't do that. But in the process of it, I think he would have hurt her simply from the fact that like he would not have tried.
Yeah.
I don't think that he has enough in him to make that work because I think he's kind of a schlump. Like he doesn't put a lot of energy into his relationships. And not to say that Lorelai deserves more attention than a baby does. But if he's co-parenting, it's with Sherry, but I don't know that he would have like made his relationship work for him.
Well, it sounds like it would have been very Luke, Lorelai, April, Anna in a lot of ways.
But in a different way.
Oh, in a very different way. But it would have been
a baby.
A similar kind of situation of this push and pull. How much do you want to be involved? How much do you not want to be involved? Would Christopher
How much will Sherry let Gigi like and Lorelai?
Yeah, it would have been a very interesting dynamic. So I think that, again, for just like the cleanness of it all and for the tone that the show is, it's not this like teen drama where, you know, Chris is with Lorelai, but he's having a baby with Sherry and everybody's mad at each other and there's a lot of manipulation. You know, it's.
Yeah, and they all go to Thanksgiving together.
It's much more nuanced than that. And so I think that the way that it played out was the best for the story.
Yeah, agreed. I do want to know what y'all think. Should Chris have stayed with Lorelai after Sherry was pregnant or after they found out?
Yeah.
I want to know.
I want to
know. What's the right answer? Is there a right answer?
I don't think there's not a right answer. Yeah. But I think that everybody's opinion on it's going to be different.
Yeah. I'm
super curious.
Can't wait to hear.
So the next question we had, kind of going back to the history between the two of them, is do you think Lorelai told Christopher where she was going when she ran away to Stars Hollow?
No.
Oh, I do.
Really?
Yes. 100%. The thing that Lorelai maintains through season one, honestly through the whole show, is that the door to Rory has always been open to Christopher. And so I really think that she was like, listen, I'm going to this small town. You know where we are. And that was it. Like, I don't think she ran away and didn't tell Christopher where she was going.
I think she ran away, went to Stars Hollow, and then told Christopher where she was.
I could see that too.
Because, like, I think that she probably left. Because this was, I don't remember what episode we were talking about this in. It's like, how did she pick Stars Hollow? Mm. How did she end up there? How did she end up as a maid? Like, it was Fran, right? That she met and that all happened. But it was like, why Stars Hollow? Like, was it just like the cheapest bus ticket was what we talked about then? It was like, it was a what if episode, I think. Might have been on Patreon. But, yeah, so I think it's more of like, that is hard because we don't know how she got there. But I do think that she wouldn't have wanted her parents to know. And who's the first person that they're going to call when they can't get in touch with Lorelai is going to be Chris. Mm. And so they call and say, Lorelai's not here. Do you know where she is? And he's going to say, yeah, but I'm not going to tell you.
No, you're right. I think it's much more realistic that she left and then told him where she was. Mostly because for this episode, sorry, Luna has entered the chat. For this episode, I looked at the conversation that Christopher and Rory have in A Year in the Life, because I felt like that was a very telling conversation for the history between Lorelai, Rory, and Christopher. And what he says was, your mom did what she wanted to do. I wasn't consulted. Which again, I think, and we can get into this a little bit later, speaks volumes about the history between the two of them and the fandom's understanding of Christopher's character. Because the thing is that I think that the fandom has labeled Christopher as this absent, deadbeat father who abandoned his child and the mother of his child, when in actuality, Lorelai chose not to marry him. She chose to go somewhere else. And she said, I want to do this by myself. He speaks to that. She speaks to that. And so while I think that Chris could have shown up more, I'm not denying that. I think that he has been mislabeled, in my opinion, as this person who just like abandoned them and left. When in reality, Lorelai was like, I want to do this on my own.
Yeah. Do you think there's a level, though, to him saying that, that there is a, by saying that your mom, I forget exactly what it was, but I was not consulted, that it's like absolving himself of any guilt of it.
That it's like,
I wasn't consulted in it. So because I wasn't consulted, I'm not going to show up. That regardless of, because I agree to a certain extent. I do think that like Lorelai's choice to say, I'm going to do this on my own is a little reflective of how she expected Chris to show up. I don't think it was fully like a, I'm going to do this on my own because I want to, but it was probably like, I'm going to do this on my own because the person that I have seemingly accidentally decided to create a child with is not going to show up in the way that I want to. And he can say that I was not consulted as much as he wants to, but like, I think that knowing where they are and like knowing that the door is open and not ever really walking through the door unless he kind of suits him, or unless I think that he is in a place where he might be impressive to Lorelai, like, because I think that's kind of always where he shows up. It's like, if he could be like impressive is maybe the wrong word, but like that there's a chance with Lorelai, maybe that he's like, look at me now. But totally. When he's not in those places, he doesn't show up for Rory.
No, and I fully agree. I don't think Chris is great. nor do I think Chris is absolved of everything just because of that sweeping statement that he made.
Do feel like years later, of course, when she's all grown up.
But they do have these conversations, I feel, as the series goes on. Like, Lorelai owns that this was her choice. She owns that she wanted to raise Rory the way that she wanted to raise Rory. And she left the door open for Christopher. Yes, him moving to California, whenever that was. We don't know. That's the thing, is that the timeline between the two of them is so muddy, because there's this huge chunk of time that's missing, right? But we make a lot of assumptions about that period of time based on, obviously, the execution of the show and what we see play out in front of us. But I think that because Rory and Lorelai are on their own, we instantly assume that that was Chris's choice to leave. When I do think that, and again, I'm not saying Chris was perfect. I'm not saying he wanted to show up and Lorelai like slammed the door in his face. I don't think it was like that. But I do think that Lorelai wanted to do this her way. And she was like, the door to Rory is open to you, but I don't want to get married. I want to do this on my own. And maybe there are parts in the story that I am forgetting about where, you know, Lorelai was like, I wanted to marry him, but, you know, he then wanted to go to California and he couldn't show up and whatever.
No, I don't think that they were ever going to get married.
But I do agree with you that I think, and we only know this based on what she kind of says to him throughout season one, and then where things land at the beginning of season three when she sees that he's kind of finally gotten his shit together, that I think she always wanted him to be the kind of person that could show up, but she didn't feel like she could trust him to be that way. So she decided to do this on her own, or she accepted that she was probably going to do this on her own.
I think that's more of what it is, that, like, Chris, from what you're kind of the way that you're explaining it, it's kind of feeling to me like Chris is the kind of person that, like, if the circumstances aren't, like, perfect for him, he's going to kind of blame the circumstances of, like, we're not married. And so I wanted to get married. You didn't. And so, first of all, like, that was the biggest barrier. It's like, no, you can still come co-parent with me. And it's like, it's almost like I couldn't do all these things that I wanted to do. And you did them in such a way that, like, you didn't consult me. So, like, I can't come in and show up and be a part of this because you guys are the Gilmore Girls and I can't be a part of that. It's kind of what it feels like. That sure. He's like blaming. He feels like he's a victim of circumstance when he could have, like, risen above it to be, like, to make it work, to, like, do what he had to do to be this girl's father. But
I fully agree with. And I think that he could have shown up in a lot of ways that he ultimately chose not to, because at the end of the day, what Rory says to him in the revival is, like, why didn't you fight her on it? And so I know that she wishes that he had fought harder to be a part of her life. And there's more to say on that later. But in having this conversation, what I find really interesting is that I don't know that Christopher ever necessarily speaks to a lot of these things, except for in the revival. A lot of what we hear about Christopher is from other people. Richard's perspective on him, Emily's, Strobe being like, he was bound for Princeton.
That's not how you say it.
Bound for Princeton. Like, he, like, talking about how he is so bright and his future is so bright, and Lorelai's account of him, whether that's past Lorelai talking about him sleeping on benches and going to Europe and what about that? I want you to have that life. And he's like, no, I'll go and work for your dad. It sounds like an okay deal. And she's like, no, this wasn't the plan. We had a plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that other people talk about him and their perspectives on him seems to be how we shape the character of Christopher. Whereas I don't necessarily feel like we get a lot from Christopher himself to actually shape his character. You know what I mean?
It's almost like he is shaping himself by being absent.
Well, like, the other people around him are shaping him by him being absent.
And that's what I mean, is like, if you showed up with your actions, we could maybe speak to this a little more, but
sure,
you're not coming to your daughter's high school graduation, like all these things. It's like you're never prioritizing her in any real way. So it's like, that's also what we have to go off of, that you can't stick around for two consecutive episodes. That's it's like a like it would be a curse if Chris was in three episodes in a row. But I do think that it's interesting that when we get that flashback of Chris, of like, he's the one who wants to, like, run off, and like, he seems like such a big dreamer.
He is.
And then when faced with, like, a real issue of, like, what are they going to do about Lorelai having a baby? he suddenly is like cool to go along with the plan. Mm-hmm. And it feels like he's like an escapist dreamer of like, he's like dreaming of it because he doesn't like the situation that he's in. But when like faced with it, he's like, they know better. They've always known better. And maybe like he never was gonna like step out of everyone's expectations for him. He was always gonna acquiesce. But like being young, he just like was gonna dream about it until faced with it, until like he actually had to go through with it. And then he was gonna go through with it.
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent with that, because I think that that's so typical of like a teenager who's kind of caught in a box. But I think if that was really the case, if he was really going to acquiesce, he would have ended up at Princeton.
I wonder. I can't tell. Like what the fuck with Princeton, y'all?
Well, someone asked on that topic, do you think Christopher made it to Princeton and dropped out, or do you think that he just didn't go at all? I don't think he went at all. I think had he went, Strobe would have said something about it in his fucking monologue that he gives. Yeah. He would have been like, our son was bound for Princeton and he went and he left. Like, you know. And instead he says like
he was really the fist that you
But I think that he was bound for Princeton and didn't go. And what I hate about it, and we've talked about this before, is that I don't think that he was ever really going to go. I think had Lorelai not gotten pregnant, there was a higher probability of him going. However, him talking about wanting to go to Europe and sleeping on benches and just leaving, he never wanted that for himself. And I think that he kind of, and this is an assumption, I think that he used the excuse of Lorelai getting pregnant and him being a dad to say, I can't go to Princeton. It's like, why? And that's why Strobe blames Lorelai, also because of the patriarchy. But I think
also
that is
in season 6 when he's talking to Logan and they're like comparing like getting kicked out of schools. Like retroactively, someone was like mentioned this. I think it was a Gilmore to Consider, where it feels like he then, after getting Lorelai pregnant, stayed in school and got like bopped around to all these other schools. And did he get accepted to Princeton? Like maybe like I guess like it's really having to tie together two storylines that don't necessarily connect because it doesn't seem like the later ones was dependent on the first one. But from what we know of the narrative that we can put together, if this person was real, it seems like he got kicked out of all these schools after the pregnancy, like the whatever he was doing that him and Logan had in common. And then Strobe being like he was bound for Princeton and didn't end up going.
Because he couldn't get in.
Because he couldn't get there because of all these issues. I mean, I don't know. That's just
regardless, it is Chris's fault. Like, yeah. It's on Chris, you know, circumstances aside. And I completely agree with you that Chris does tend to, and the people around Chris tend to blame the circumstances rather than Chris himself.
Or they baby him too. Like, the Gilmores baby him. And I'm like, this is a grown man.
After a certain point, yes. I think the history is where I sometimes get a little, like, with people when they're like, well, he left and he did this and he did that. And I'm like, well, we don't exactly know. And based on what we've heard from both of them, yeah, he moved to California and that's a lifetime away. If I wanted to show up for my daughter, I would be at least in the same fucking tri-state area as her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that was his choice. But I want people to remember that there was a component to it that was like, Lorelai chose, for whatever reason, that she wanted to do this on her own. She wanted to raise Rory and she wanted it to be the two of them, whether that was because she didn't feel like Christopher could handle it or whatnot. She did make that choice. And so I always encourage people to remember that, because I do think that oftentimes we kind of like dismiss that portion of it to say like Chris was a bad father. He was absent. Yeah, I think he was an absent father too. Like fully 100%. I'm on the train with you guys. Like
boop, boop.
But I just don't want us to forget. I'm wearing
the hat conducting the train.
You are conducting the train. I'm right next to you. We're driving along the same tracks. I am conducting the Dean sex train.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're both wearing our hats. It's very cute. We wave to each other. We toot toot. But you know what I'm saying? Like I just don't ever want people to forget about that, because I do think that that is often dismissed in an effort.
I don't mind people forgetting it.
Great.
So I like our first No Sparkly Heart in a while.
That is, I guess. Wow, it's been a minute.
It's more so that, like, as you were saying that, it really makes me want a What If episode, because, like, Christopher, like what if he, like, moved to Stars Hollow and was like, wow, I don't like it here, I have to go. Like,
yeah.
Like, that would have been so interesting to find out about. But I think that part of me, like, doesn't want to put any of the blame on Lorelai, because it's like,
of course not. No, you never want to blame the person who, like, kind of fell victim to this circumstance and raised her daughter and did it so well. You know, like, Lorelai is my favorite character.
And I think that I could, get to that side if it was just when she was younger. You know, if it was like, I'm going to do this on my own, regardless of what happened then. But, like, I think the decision, once Rory's old enough, that, like, Rory wants to have a relationship with her dad. Like, whatever Lorelai would have done to, like, not keep him away, but, like, make sure, like, he knew she was doing this on her own. That, like, at a certain point, it's like, you're not going to show up in any way. Do you show up financially? Do you show up by calling? Are you supportive? Do you send birthday presents? Do you
Well, like, that's kind of where my defense of Chris ends, right? Is that, like, the next question here is, did Chris ever really care about Rory, or did he just want to be with Lorelai? Does he just show up for Rory? Does he show up for Rory just for Lorelai? And
you guys, these questions.
Oh my God, they were so good, because they're they're very thought-provoking and they hit the hard stuff, because I have to be honest, again, like, after defending the potential of Chris being there and being a more present father, this is where the defense ends, because I do not think – I have to start by saying I do think he cares about Rory. I think, like, inherently he is a father, and this is a generalization.
He totally cares,
like,
about her.
Like, familial he loves her. Love is totally a thing. However, I – do not think that man shows up for Rory. He only shows up for Lorelai.
Yeah. And I think that he wanted to show up for Rory. And, like, when he goes to buy the dictionary, but his card declines, and, like, he really wants to, like, make a memorable visit so that she, like, remembers him in a good light. But I also think part of it is, like, he wants Lorelai to remember him being there in a good light. And if Rory remembers that, that's, like, half the thing. It's like when Rory's being passed between them whispering,
In Christopher Returns, when she's
the bands,
Something Sucks and Metallica Rules.
What is it?
It's Offspring. She says, Offspring. Nope, the Offspring sucks and Metallica Rules, because all I could think of was, the Offspring is your favorite band.
And she's just kind of being passed between them, which, like, feels weird, admittedly. It's a good setup for a shot.
It's a great setup.
Dialogue moment. But, like, if you're thinking of Rory as their child, it's like, you're really just putting her in a weird position.
No, that to me, and everything, all the choices he makes after that, and me declaring very strongly and saying with my full chest that I feel like Chris really only shows up for Rory, especially in those early seasons, to get to Lorelai, really does speak to what you were just saying about proving to Lorelai that he could be a good father, because there is clearly a reason that Lorelai wanted to, or at least presented that option of, like, I'm going to do this on my own.
Yeah. Or maybe, and that's the thing, did she intend to, or did he just not show up?
Yeah.
We won't ever really know.
And we kind of won't. Yeah.
The question I have for you in we said before that was, do you think that the writers used Rory as a device between the two of them? Like, they really had Chris only really show up as a love interest, and Rory was just, like, kind of like a subplot to that, to try and further the connection between Chris and Lorelai. Because, like, as a character, we're examining him, of, like, of course a father would care for his daughter, but really only show up for the mom.
You know, It's interesting because in thinking about the intention of Christopher and his character, I have a lot of thoughts on that I think I want to save for part two, because there's a question that I think this answer could be incorporated into. So let's put a pin in that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm looking at this, I'm like, I have so many thoughts.
I know. But I think that that's what complicates the end of season two so much, is that it's like, if Chris really wanted to show up for Lorelai and show Lorelai that he could be a good dad, even if it was in an effort to win her affections, then why did he show up for Sherry if it wasn't for himself, to prove to himself that he could be a good father, to prove to himself that he could show up for someone in the same circumstances that Lorelai found herself in 16 years prior? You know, it's like, who's it for at the end of the day? Is it for Christopher? Is it for Lorelai? Is it for Rory? It's so complicated.
It does feel, though, like if he couldn't show up for Rory, and like, he seems like the kind of person who like doesn't understand you can start again and change now and change your mind and like work and be better, that it's like he's kind of accepted that he didn't really show up very well, so he's not going to start now. Mm-hmm. But he has the chance to start fresh with a whole new baby who would never know that he didn't show up, mm-hmm. who would only know him as eventually like the single father who raised her. So I wonder if in some regards it's like, oh, I couldn't be there for Rory. I want to be there for Lorelai, but I have the chance to start fresh and change someone's expectation.
And that's what makes it feel kind of more circumstantial, less about Rory herself.
Yeah.
Which is so sad. And I think a reason why the fandom doesn't like Christopher.
Yeah. Which makes it about Rory too, in that it's not about her.
Yeah.
Because it's not about her is like as bad as the fact that it's not about, like, not being about her is as bad as the fact that it isn't about her.
Yeah. No, it is about her in that it's not about her. Think that that's why she harbors so much resentment towards her dad. And I know she tries really hard not to. She tries.
Until she says, go be someone else's dad.
Yeah, but that like ebbs and flows. And part of the reason that their relationship is so complicated in season five is because she does not want him coming up out of nowhere and ruining Lorelai's relationship with Luke.
Stay away from mom.
It's not about her relationship. Well, her relationship is directly impacted by the relationship he has with Lorelai.
Yeah. Because we don't hear from him at all in season four.
And we barely hear
like season four so much.
That must be it. We barely hear Boo from him in season three.
Yeah.
So he's gone for arguably two whole seasons. And then shows back up in season five. And Rory is like, I don't want this. And it's just so fascinating to me that now she is starting to incorporate the relationship that he has with Lorelai, directly correlating that to the way that she has a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And I only feel like that shifts in season six. I feel like they have a father-daughter relationship that exists outside of Lorelai in season six only.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he feels like a parent a little bit when he tells Lorelai that she moved in with Logan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, but like when he's like trying to be a dad about it, he's like, I want to see where you live. And she's like, well, I moved in with my boyfriend today. Mm-hmm. And he's like super cool about it.
Yeah.
And
that's the only time that I really genuinely feel like it's father-daughter, like her texting him with the sidekick in I Get a Sidekick Out of You. And, you know, that whole chapter of their lives, that's where I feel like they are father and daughter. That's where I feel like maybe there's a lot more invested in their relationship between both of them on both sides. That doesn't really have anything to do with Lorelai.
You know, that's a really interesting idea too. Cause like, I know it's like explored just a little bit at the beginning of season seven where, Rory says something along the lines of like they were finally having a relationship.
I was just about to bring that up in introducing Lorelai. No, in That's What You Get, Folks, for Making Whoopee. When yeah. Rory is so upset with her mom, I genuinely feel like it's because she was finally building a relationship with her father that existed outside of Lorelai.
And she has to know that it's not going to be the same.
Uh-huh.
But, and I think that that's, I don't know how Amy season 7 would have gone, but I would have liked to explore that a little bit more.
Me too.
Like maybe it would have been as heartbreaking as like they were getting there and it was axed. I do love that in season 6 they get a whole storyline about a sidekick.
I know.
Like the ultimate phone in the aughts.
Oh, so
other
important.
Other than the pink razor. I know, like, it's true. I wanted a sidekick so bad.
Me too. That, a BlackBerry or a pink razor, I would have been
fine. Oh, the BlackBerry
with.
Pearl.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. This was before iPhones came on the scene, of course. But yeah. Those were all so fun. A BlackBerry, a sidekick, or pink razor phone. I would have been elated.
Yeah, any of them. I got the one that Blair Waldorf had. You know,
yeah,
the
orange one. Yeah,
I had the envy. I had the green one because they didn't have orange one when I went to go buy mine. So I had the green one.
The orange for me on Blair Waldorf felt so out of place.
So weird.
So
it was
odd.
Just product placement.
Yeah, of course. I had the NV3 and I got it in maroon and I loved it. It was my first real phone.
Ooh.
I bought it for myself. I had my own plan of Verizon because my mom would not get me a plan. I had to do pay as you go until I graduated from high school and then I got an actual cell phone.
It's probably because she knew you'd like run your text message into the ground.
Probably. But she didn't really have like a true cell phone where she like paid for a plan every month that was like beyond $10 for like her T-Mobile brick of
yeah,
a cell phone.
Yeah, just a call.
Until like 2012.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom was like not a cell phone person. My dad is barely a cell phone person now. Like they were for a very long time, very old school. So I didn't get that until 2009. And then we all went on to the same plan probably in 2012.
Oh, that's when you became a true family.
That's when I became a real family. I'm a real girl now.
I want to go back to the true family question that we have here still, which was that, was Chris at all justified in his anger at the end of It Should Have Been Lorelai, which was in season 2 mm-hmm. when he goes to Friday night dinner with Lorelai because Sherry takes Rory out because she's insistent. And this is when what she says to him about sabotaging her relationships because she was waiting for him. They're at Luke's. And Rory runs out the door because Lane has like a second.
It was the CD drop.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. She. And what is it that Lorelai asks her? And Rory's just like, I have to go. Bye.
So should it have been me?
Yes. And I remember talking about this on Patreon and being like, why would she ask her daughter that? Like, what like a boundary crossing question.
That's what I was like. Just about to say. It's the boundaries getting muddled here and also in her conversation with Christopher. I think, yeah. And we talked about this a lot on Patreon, but to touch on it again, I really think that the lines just get so blurred in their relationships.
Yeah.
That
this was a Suki conversation.
That's what I was going to say. It's a conversation you have with your best friend, not your daughter. And because Rory and Lorelai's relationship is such a hybrid of the two, I think it can sometimes blur the boundaries. And with yeah. Chris and Lorelai, I do feel like they have the same kind of relationship in a different way. They are like former love interests. They are friends and they are parents. And so
I think it's hard to like be a like have your 16-year-old love not also be a really close friend at that time, because it's like I feel like you get different things as an adult from a romantic relationship that you do when you're that young, that it like it feels like a romantic friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that line probably gets crossed of like, you feel like a really close friend who I have a daughter with, who I'm also romantically still
linked to, who yeah. I've always envisioned being endgame for me. And I've had conversations before, not as heavy as this, with people where I think that I'm going to be able to share anything with them, where yeah. I can say whatever I feel. We've been friends long enough. We've known each other long enough. Because that's the thing, is at the root of all of this, Lorelai and Christopher are friends. And they've known each other for a really long time. And so I think that there's a safety and a trust there where you feel like you should be able to tell that person anything. And it strikes a nerve and you did not realize that they were going to have the reaction that they did. Or you may have approached the situation a little differently. And I think that that's what happens here. Do I think that Christopher's anger was justified? I do. However, similarly to how I feel about Dean, you can have feelings and the reaction may not be justified. I don't think he needed to yell at her in the middle of the diner, nor do I feel like Lorelai needed to have that conversation with him in the middle of the diner.
While Sherry's outside the window.
Literally on the other side of the clear wall. So I really think that it was just the circumstances, and I think it could have been handled differently on both ends, but I do think his anger was justified. I think that was an inside thought.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. This is exactly what you were talking about. And I've had the same thing with like friends before where it's like, I feel like I can have this conversation with you, even though it's kind of about you, because I feel like you probably know me well enough that like, I want you to have this conversation with me that is also about you, but I want us both to have this conversation about me. And I don't want you to pull your feelings into it, which is like, honestly, way too much to ask of anyone. And it's like really just like probably a conversation you just should not have with them because like it's really selfish and the other person can't pull themselves out of it to make it about you as much as you want to, as much as you feel like they know who you are, you're going to hurt them.
Right. And I think that that is where Lorelai went wrong, is that I don't know what she wanted out of that conversation.
What did
she want? There has to be a goal. And it's like, what did you expect to get? Closure? Did you expect to get like a resolution to something that wasn't even a question anymore in Christopher's mind? Even though I think he's always carrying a torch for her in some way as well.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, when she was marrying Max, he didn't even really know about it, and also like didn't stop her. He was like, all right.
Yeah. When she called him, like, and you feel like he's gonna call Max, were you a little bit glad?
Was I a little bit glad that she called Christopher?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was conflict. I mean,
it was conflict, but I was also like, yeah, pick that one.
Totally. At the time, yeah. It was interesting that she was turning to Christopher, she was turning to Luke. And the one person she wasn't turning to was this guy she was going to get married to. But I do think that Chris was all in with Sherry. I really do at the time. I think that in the same way.
At the time of that episode.
At the time of that episode, I think that he was all in with Sherry. He was like, great. This is a person who has their head on their shoulders. They inspire me to have my head on my shoulders.
Which this is the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah. And that's really tough. That's a really tough thing to swallow when you're on the other side of that, because I think Lorelai, again, to your point earlier, always wanted Chris to get his shit together. Always.
Do you think that being with Sherry inspired him to want to be with Rory so that he could prove to Sherry that he could be a good dad? And it wasn't really about Rory again?
Probably.
Like, that equally feels bad. I'm sure that Lorelai on some level has to know that like he is with someone new. She kind of uses it as an excuse to let him go because all of her relationships didn't work out for him, her rather, because of him. But like to have to like befriend Sherry, which we had very mixed feelings about in that episode, to like have to befriend Sherry on behalf of her daughter so that her daughter's father can look good to his new girlfriend, so that it seems like he's showing up for his daughter, because no one would want to date a guy who isn't showing up for his teenage daughter, especially if he's going to bring her up. Like, oh, she's so smart. She goes to this prep school. She's doing great. Like, you'll like be amazed by her. You wouldn't want to be like, oh, I don't see her that much. Probably couldn't go see her. You want to be like, yeah, I see her literally all the time. I call her every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And like Sherry knows that because the only reason she would know that is Chris would brag about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's hard to say whether or not that foundation was laid before Sherry came on the scene, because it does seem like after Christopher returns, is it after Christopher returns that at some point, oh no, it's after presenting Lorelai Gilmore.
Yeah.
he starts showing up. So yeah, at that point he was dating Sherry, but we don't really know when that like weekly phone call was established or whatever. But we do start to see after presenting Lorelai Gilmore, after he shows up for the debutante ball, that he's a lot more present. He sends the Christmas card. They have this phone call that we don't really hear about until it should have been Lorelai. But you know, they have these red, like, well, they
we,
are.
We know about it in Red Light because Christopher told
Rory on the phone. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Okay. So maybe they did establish something like that.
Yeah.
A little more.
I can't remember where that came from.
But regardless, it sounds like we don't fully know what came first, but he definitely leaned in a little bit harder.
Yeah.
When Sherry came on the scene, which is fascinating. But it does bring up an interesting point, like you were speaking to earlier, of why Lorelai makes so many concessions to Chris as a father. Yeah. And this was one of the most interesting questions that was posed to us. Why did Lorelai make so many concessions for Chris's bad behavior as a dad? Why do you think that Lorelai never resents him for being so absent?
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, and with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.